The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I mentioned the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, who is with me in the meantime. Minister, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran.
Have you tried the Hang Tough yet?
I haven't.
Fancy but
I'm
Henry?
I'm really glad you haven't asked me to do it, because I'm just from the Farmers Journal tent where they had me doing press-ups with Nina Carberry and squats with a bucket of meal.
Sorry, Nina Carberry, no offence, she'd absolutely smash you in the press-ups.
Well, thankfully they only asked us to do 10 because she was flying and I was starting to struggle at that stage.
How important is this event for, you know, the farming community, for people working in agri-food, for the broader sector?
It's a really important week here, and for the perspective that it's the one week that the rest of Ireland really looks at the work of our farmers and our agri-food industry and appreciates what it's worth to our rural economy. It's an opportunity for farmers to get off the farm and socialise, which is really, really important, because farmer mental health and well-being is a big challenge for us. It's an isolated role, lots of pressures from income to weather to different things. So coming out and meeting each other and then seeing the vast array of exhibitors here, if you look at the business stands away from the ploughing and the direct farmer activity, it tells you how many thousands of jobs there are all over rural Ireland linked to the activity of our farmers, the innovation, the precision farming with drones, the new technology, the new machinery, all the feed companies, all the food companies and beyond, the financial companies that are based in supporting farmers. There are over 170,000 people directly employed as a result of our agri-food industry. It is the bedrock of our economy, particularly our rural economy, from an Indigenous perspective. And this week is a great celebration of that.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about some of that tech actually after half past five on the show. There was a time when you were here, and if you were at the plan when you were talking about AI, you were talking about something very specific.
Yeah, the truth.
We're actually going to be talking about the other AI, the AI the rest of us talk about, and how it's informing kind of this industry as well. So that's coming up a little bit later. In terms of some concrete policy issues, generational renewal was brought up by Senator Ian from Agriland when we were talking a little bit earlier. And I know we had this commission on generational renewal in farming that you were talking about, I think it was yesterday, but maybe talk us through exactly what the vision of that is, what the challenge is, and how government plan to meet it.
So we face a very big challenge around generation renewal. It's not unique to Ireland in the agriculture sphere. You know, only 4.35% of farmers in this country are under the age of 35. And unfortunately, like 37% are over the age of 65. And when you talk about that very innovation, that our farmers are at the cutting edge of adopting new measures and the most latest innovative measures, younger, new generation farmers with recently trained, with a whole career ahead of them, are more likely to take on that big investment and that new adoption of measures. So generation renewal is really important from that perspective, and it's a very big stressor on our farms for older generation who maybe don't have an identified successor or ultimately need to identify which of the children will be most likely to take on the farm. Because of those demographics and the challenges we face, and I've discussed this with Commissioner for Agriculture, Christoph Hansen, who shares these really big ambitions in this area, we set about having an independent commission on generation renewal that have issued me with a report that we published yesterday. And that is a very lengthy report, runs over 180 pages, but at its heart is 31 different recommendations.
Yeah.
And it looks at all the challenges from pensions to taxation to access to land, access to finance, gender. You know, the importance of a daughter having as much chance of inheriting the farm as a son, and how we can better support that. And just from meeting the Women in Agriculture group there now, who are doing huge work in that area as well. So, you know, farmers generally will end up talking quite quickly about financial schemes and support.
Yeah.
And the budget has a role in that. But there is a much more systematic a challenge here and technical things that can be changed that can make a difference. And at the heart of this report is a line that really jumped out at me that said, what won't change here is that the key decisions made in the family farm will still be made around the kitchen table by that family, with all of the sensitivities and complexities that that can bring. And I need to look at every arm of the state supporting farmers in that process, that they feel supported, where farmers don't have an identified successor,
yeah,
as can be the case as well, that they're supported in that space as well. Because on other farms, we have young farmers who want to take over the farm, but there's not enough of a farm or income to do that.
Yeah.
Being able to marry those two in some type of succession scheme is something I really want to incorporate into the next CAP as well.
How worried are you about the proliferation in this country of something we've seen on a much bigger scale in the UK, and it's people with wealth generational wealth in some cases behind them buying up that land. You know what I mean? Where a farmer doesn't have the successor, the farm goes on sale and it's, you know, and we won't name any names, but we know who we're talking about. These well-known people buying up vast amounts of the countryside.
Yeah, and that is a concern. And in certain areas, it is definitely a sensitivity. Our constitution has very strong property rights for people there. But by and large, if you look at it, and you mentioned the UK, like the biggest challenge in the UK was the government's change on inheritance tax. And sometimes we take for granted the supports that are there. So already we have over €400 million worth of support.
Yeah, not to defend what the Labour government were doing in the UK, but I guess that their rationale for doing it was that they were trying to limit this phenomenon whereby people were, you know, buying that land and essentially using the ownership of land to avoid paying inheritance tax. Now, they did it in a way that was ham-fisted and actually was going to punish farmers.
But that is the point. When you mess with this space, and my starting point in looking at generation renewal is make sure we don't upset the things that work. The biggest support the government presently gives farmers in generation renewal is through our taxation system. €325 million worth of taxation supports through agri-relief. If our farmers had to pay the type of inheritance tax that the UK is now imposing, young farmers taking over the farm would have to sell the land or a portion of it. And that goes to the heart against what you're trying to do, because we want our farms to be viable and of that size. So generation renewal has many impacts there. Land availability is one element of it, and that's why we made changes a number of years ago in long-term leasing. That is a key component of people having access to land with a bit of certainty away from the one-year con-acre system that was traditionally what we had in Ireland.
There's a few people getting in touch actually listening at home with questions. Can you ask the Minister if the government intends to protect farmers from residential zoned land tax, which is going to tax farmers off their own land?
No, so we've been very clear. Farmers who are actively farming their land can opt out. They had the opportunity this year to seek to have their land dezoned as part of that. You can't. That residential zoned land tax is a very important activation measure for land that's lying idle that we need to be built on. We're in a housing crisis, so we make no apology for that. But we gave a clear commitment that farmers who are actively farming land, and if that land is not serviced and it's continuously actively being farmed, then that should continue. What we don't want is speculators buying land, sitting on it for 10 years, as we've seen in other areas, land that needs to be developed, that is serviced, that land does need to be moved on and to be built on.
Why is the government agreeing to this Mercosur deal, which is going to wipe out the beef industry in this country?
Well, I'd love to ask that person, where did they ever see the government say we agree to this? Because it's 25 years in the making. We have been absolutely clear about our concerns around the Mercosur trade deal. We stitch it into the programme for government, and our position remains the same today as it was back in January with the programme for government that we adopted, that we have significant concerns around the Mercosur trade deal. We continue to work with like-minded countries.
Yeah, but sorry, Fine Gael MEPs don't look like they're kind of standing in opposition to it. There was opportunities to vote against it, and they've abstained, or they've voted with the European
People's
Party.
Don't buy the spin of some independent MEP who says an amendment to some bill that was about cap and had nothing to do with Mercosur was in any way going to influence the vote. There will be a vote on Mercosur. Simon Harris has tarnished it, and Minister for Trade will be at the Trade Council that will make that vote, most likely in November. We continue to work with like-minded countries who share those concerns.
And the Commission he's going to vote in opposition to Mercosur.
So what I was saying is the Commission has produced a response to the concerns that ourselves and other member states have raised. We're analysing that.
But these opposition MEPs, as you describe them, I mean, their issue is that Fine Gael MEPs and Fine Gael at the European level are going to support the passing of Mercosur. Is our Fine Gael MEPs going to support the passing of Mercosur?
And my point back to you is the programme for government is really clear, is that we have opposition to Mercosur trade deal where it is. But just to be clear,
you say we have concerns, but just having concerns doesn't mean you're going to oppose it.
So we do oppose, but what people need to be aware of is those concerns and that opposition needs to be built a coalition. The way this is stopped, and it's not MEPs that vote on this, they have an element of a role in this process, but it is the ministers on the Council of State for Trade, which is what Minister Tánaiste Harris, Simon Harris, sits on. The fact is you need four member states as a minimum to oppose the deal, and they need to bring combined at least 35% of the population of the EU. So we have, true to our commitment to programme for government, I have worked on the Agri-Fish Council with the other Minister for Agriculture, with like-minded states who share our concern around the impact on our beef trade and asking farmers to have a certain level of environmental conditionality and beef coming in from Mercosur countries that are a lower level of that environmental conditionality. With 5.2 million people, Ireland is not going to have a massive impact on that 35% of population, but we absolutely would have a big impact being one of the four countries to contribute to that. I met my Polish counterpart in Denmark last week to ensure that they still are in their position of opposition, which they are, and I'm Looking forward in Brussels next week to meet my French and Italian counterpart. There is rumours that there is a weakening of their opposition to this. I'm not sure if that's the case. Nobody, they haven't told me it is. The Austrians are also in a position. But if one of those larger countries falls away, and then well, then your ability to make the 35% falls away. So this is not something Ireland controls on its own, but we've been really clear and very consistent on something that's been going on for 25 years now.
A couple of other issues that are swirling around today that I want to ask you about before I let you go. One of them, as I said, is this really sad story of Daniel Arribuse, this little boy whose remains have been found in Donabate. And obviously the specific details of that case will emerge over time, over the next few days and weeks. It does raise questions for TUSLA, and in particular all of these cases that were closed during COVID, doesn't it?
Absolutely. First and foremost, just, you know, all of us are horrified with the details of this case, of the investigation that's been ongoing, and at the idea that any child can get lost in a system, a child who's vulnerable in any given circumstance, not specifically in relation to the details of this case, but the type of cases that this throws up. So what I can say very clearly is that government is taking this really, really seriously. Minister Foley expects to get the TUSLA rapid review of Daniel's case by the end of this month. The independent review of the case has been conducted by the National Review Panel, which is a separate process. And then the third element of this is the well-being check of child welfare cases that were closed during the pandemic continue to be carried out by TUSLA. And I know Minister Foley is taking the lead on this in terms of making sure that we don't have any cases where a child who's vulnerable was in the system is lost to the system. And there's loads of complexities in this area when families move to different places and how that's tracked. But we absolutely have to learn from this, and our thoughts and prayers are with everybody affected by this and other cases similar.
Yeah, an awfully sad story. And our own chief reporter, Barry White, is out there in Donabate, and we'll catch up with Barry on the detail after 5 o'clock. The Dáil resumed today after its summer recess, and part of the conversation was about, I guess, the environment we find ourselves in and threats made to politicians. You talked about Simon Harris, of course, and these awful threats made to his family. And I just wonder, and maybe it's not the case, had you ever been in receipt of similar threats, kind of similar toxicity directed at you?
Well, yeah, look, there's a video that went viral here at the Plough Match yesterday of me being abused by somebody who had a particular viewpoint. It wasn't a discussion that you could call a reasoned debate, and I'll debate anything with anybody. They were shouting expletives at me and just wanted to get the video clip of, do you stand, do you talk to them, and then they get to shout in your face, or if you keep walking, they get to say you're walking away from me. It's frustrating. But you deal with that. But my biggest concern of that is, and as I say, I'll discuss the debates with anybody, we continuously need good people across all civic society to see politics as a noble art and something that they're willing to go for. And if a good person from business or any background, community activism or anything else, goes home to their partner and says, I want to get involved in politics, we need the partner not to think that that's a crazy idea. The more that this stuff is tolerated, and this isn't about me, and it's not about the individuals, but I feel as the sitting TDs, and we have responsibility not to let our role be denigrated. And that's something I feel really passionate about. So, the fact that I got into this job when I was single, my now wife always knew me to be in the public eye. She was more accepting of it. At 47 years of age, if I came home with this idea now, working in the private sector with four young kids at home, she'd probably tell me no. But she's kind of rolling with it. And that's not what I want for other people to consider politics. So on the broader point, it is something we all need to take very seriously, from media to politicians. And I think we should insist on reasoned debate. All of us are well able to be questioned. You'll be questioning me here, as I've been questioning loads of media channels today. I have no problem debating the issues, but we need to be respectful to each other.
Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden. Minister, thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.